Hello, everyone, and welcome to therapy, because there's not any tsunami we're discussing this week. It's December 6th. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And, well, because there was no tsunami to discuss, we decided to watch a movie, Your Name. Actually, should we discuss that after we discuss the regular episodes first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll just go through those. So first we've got Konosuba, episode 11, kind of. It's listed as such on like the Crunchyroll thing, but it's actually an OVA that was released between the first and second seasons. So, yeah, like I meant, so I think, well, it's weird, because the character Union, who, like, is another one where they meet her, and then, like, Kazuma just does a voiceover, she is blah, 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 and we met her before. I was thinking, okay, is this, like, Wiz, where they were introduced and then just said, oh, yeah, we met them off screen, and then they'll be like that in the second season, or are they formally introduced in the second season, or, I don't know, we'll find out in a few episodes. The important, thing is that Kazuma puts on this sort of choker thing that will kill you, that when you put it on, you make a wish, and if it doesn't occur within four, if you don't make it happen within 4 days, it kills you. Except he can't remember what the wish is, so he basically gets out all of the girls to do stuff for him, mostly kind of like perverted stuff, in order to see if that was like the wish. And none of it ends up working until at the end, everyone's like, you know, he's think, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna die right after telling them all sorts of like really critical things that he always wanted to tell them. And they're like, oh, well, that's sad. And then it actually works fine. It falls off because it turned out he just wanted them to be more comforting. But then they get angry, and apparently Aqua just throws it on him again, and then he gets killed by it. And presumably then brought back still, but, and yeah, that was the episode, basically.
Yeah. What did you think of it?
It was kind of a mixed bag for me. It had some of the stuff that I didn't really like from that episode about the Sakabai, but on the other hand, it had I laughed a lot more than I did in that episode. So a bunch of, well, one of the problems I had was that I was becoming convinced throughout most of the episode, like, oh yeah, Kazuma act is just made, he knows exactly what the wish was, he's just making this all up in order to make them do stuff for him, which was not the case. And I was thinking, I wish the episode had made that more obvious or something, that he was at, to make it clear that, yeah, he was actually in real danger here. It wasn't an act or whatever. It's just that he was in real danger and was then using it as an excuse to make them do stuff he wanted them to. So yeah, some of the stuff was like, I was just like, yeah, you're going a bit far with this joke. But other stuff was funny. I mean, I'm sorry, just a phrase, strip, rock, paper, scissors is inherently funny to me. So yeah, it was like, it was a better version of that, it was to me a better version of episode, 9.
Yeah, for me, it seemed so much like that episode that, it wasn't my favorite episode. I thought it was okay. I mean, there were some funny things about it, but overall, it was just a little too perverted for my liking. So yeah,
me too. Like I said, I did like it more than that. It had it used the stuff. It used it better. The final joke wasn't anywhere near as telegraphed, and there were definitely better jokes in it. I did laugh out loud a decent several times in this episode. Now, granted, that was in between some stuff I didn't like, but it still made me laugh. So, like I said, this is, I can't say it's what episode 8 should have been, but it's definitely a better version of it.
Yeah, I just think there's more than just whether it's funny or not. You know, it has, whenever it's going over the edge with some of this really perverted stuff, like it may be funny, but it still isn't good, in my opinion.
Well,
So.
no. The really over the top stuff wasn't what made me laugh. What was other stuff in it? It's like there would be something that would be funny, like the running gag where he's making the other girls do these like kind of gross things, and Aqua's like, "What are you going to do to me?" And then he's just like, "Go get me a bagel," and then she's super annoyed by it. Like stuff like that was really funny, I thought.
Okay.
For example, okay. So yeah, not. It was okay. Like I said, I feel like that other episode we've been comparing it to made me like this one more because it was to me a better version, even if it did share some of the same flaws. Okay. All right. So then we got Chihayafuru episode 10.
Okay, so it's like their first tournament, and we already have our first episode about someone who feels like they aren't loved enough. Like, this happens in pretty much every show that has a team of people. There's always an episode where one person has to go through a crisis where they feel like no one thinks they're good enough to be on the team. So this time it's that one glasses kid. I don't know his name. Like, at least we know Porky's name because
Yeah.
I spent a whole episode complaining about it. I don't know this guy's name, but basically he feels like he's not good enough because he's always losing, and everyone else kind of just views him as the weakest person. So then about halfway through, he magically just decides that he's going to start supporting the other people, and then so then I didn't really get why all of a sudden he just changed his tune. Like, he's sitting in a room all by himself in the dark, and then all of a sudden he's like, "I'm gonna defend Chihaya." And so then he goes back out and does that. And for the episode overall, I thought it was kind of just mediocre. It wasn't really that good. So, yeah, what did you think?
I thought it was just okay, like you. I mean, his turnaround, I thought part of it was supposed to be that oh golly, another character whose name I can't remember. The girl who's obsessed with the Japanese clothing, because she gave that big speech about, oh well, we're new, of course we're not going to be as good as them, but we'll get better and all of that kind of stuff. I thought that was part of it. Honestly, the bigger takeaway, this is another thing where there's something and it doesn't really explain it that much, which is and I only knew this because it was mentioned in this other manga I read called Hikaru no Go, which was about Go, and that was when you have a sort of team like this, what the way it works is you pick what sort of seat each person is on, and then that they go up against the like the other team according to that seat. So like seat one goes against seat one, seat two goes against seat two. And like the traditionally what you do is you put the best player in first, the second best player in second, and so on. But then some teams switch it up because they're like, well, the other team will be doing that, so we want to, so we're going to put our so we're just going to put a weaker player in the first seat and just accept that we've lost that one, and then winning the other seats. And there's a little discussion of that, but it didn't really explain that was what they were talking about. But other than that, yeah, it was just kind of, I don't know. Chihaya Furuse has been, so much of it has felt perfectly adequate.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, it adequate, not like good or great, just adequate. Basically, it is what it means. It's just okay. It's good enough to make me not feel like I wasted my time, but not good enough to make me like, that interested in it yet. Well, I mean, that's what a lot of it. Some parts of it are better and get me more interested, but
There was a lot of hype surrounding this, so, and I always talk about the hype, but everyone told me this was like a really good sports anime, so that's the reason why I chose it. The jury's still out on it. We'll see. We still got a bunch of episodes to go in season one, so
Yeah,
yeah, we'll.
we're 10 episodes into 25 episodes of season one, so yeah. Okay, so then we've got That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, episode 18.
Okay, so I don't remember what happened, so I'm sorry. Do you remember what happened in this episode? Because I'm drawing a blank right now.
Let me think. So, let's see. So one of the guys who got beaten by Milim in the previous episode runs up against these other guys wearing clown masks, and one of them has the like most exaggerated accent. But well, one of them. I'm sure it's supposed to be like she's supposed to be talking like Harley Quinn from Batman the Animated Series. But like it's an even more over the top Harley Quinn than the actual Harley Quinn. But anyway, so they convince him to go and revive some monster thing because that could make him become a demon lord. I can't remember. It was a little confusing. The important thing is that the big monster gets revived or whatever, and it's gonna go attack the town, and everyone's like, oh, what are we gonna do? And then Mila's like, I'll defeat it. To Rimuru's very frustration, other people shut it down, shoot the idea down, and just say, no, it's our town. We have to deal with it. And so then they got to prepare for that. That's basically the episode.
Well, obviously it wasn't very memorable because I can't remember what happened in it.
The thing
And
I remember the most about is just how like the character was clearly doing a Harley Quinn, and I mean the voice actress was clearly doing a Harley Quinn like voice, and that just like it was so obvious. That's what I remember the most about it. Yeah, that was the episode. Also, not like the greatest. Kind of a week in terms of the stuff we were watching. But yeah, that time I got reincarnated as a slime. Hopefully, this will be something that will actually repose some kind of challenge to Rimuru finally. I mean, that's like the problem. I'm having, I'm because he's beaten everything. He's like never lost. I just can't find like that much drama in this. I mean, like the drama is this finally going to be the time where he actually has to struggle to win?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. All right. So now we get to the movie we watched, Your Name, which I won't be making any more jokes about it like I did last time. I mean about the name of Your Name. Well, okay, I guess I just did it like right there. Anyway, so yeah, so Yeah, Your Name. This one, when I was looking it up, I knew this was kind of popular. I didn't realize how big of a for an anime film this was. It made if you count a yen as 1 cent, which is about the same to translate it into the U.S. dollars, this made about $250 million in Japan, which is huge. It's the fourth highest grossing film released in Japan. Pull up the list. I thought I had it pulled up, but I didn't. I want to double check. It's the fourth highest grossing film in Japan. It's also why isn't my computer loading this right? There we go. The second highest anime grossing film in Japan. In first place is Spirited Away. In case you're wondering, out of all the films, number two is Titanic, number three is Frozen. Anyway, it was popular outside because it got 361 million worldwide. So this was actually a pretty big hit when you get down to it. And I think it was one super high rated on my anime list. So, this is something that is hype, as you were saying with that sort of thing. Let me double check. Yeah, it's number four on your anime, my anime list. You got there. It's Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, Steins Gate, Hunter x Hunter, Your Name, then Attack on Titan Season 3 Part 2. I still find it so funny that it got divided into that sort of thing. But I'm sorry. I'm talking about everything other than Your Name at this point. So what made you want to choose this movie?
Well, you already said it.
Oh,
hype. That's the reason.
Okay.
Hype.
Fair enough.
It's all hype. That's why I chose it. Yep.
Okay. So do you want to discuss it without spoilers and then move into a spoiler thing maybe a little later? Or
whatever way you want to do it. I don't know.
Do you want to summarize the premise?
No, why don't you do that? You're better at
So there's this girl named Mitsuha and this guy named Taki, and they basically kind of wake up in each other's bodies, and You compared it to that Nintendo adventure book Brain Drain. It's more of a Freaky Friday thing because it's just two people. It's not just everyone swapping bodies and stuff. And by the way, you know what really bugged me about that book? There's a part where Luigi is in a Koopa body and he gets to choose whether to eat the food that's in the cafeteria or order a pizza. And if you don't order the pizza, you get an automatic game over later on because you need the pizza to put in your ears to protect yourself from a noise. it always annoyed me in some of those books where there's things like that, where there's it's just a random chance almost whether you get it right. One of the reasons I liked the book Flown the Koopa so much was because it was this: if you solve every puzzle correctly, you get to the good ending. More like Freaky Friday, except unlike that, they switch back perpetually. They switch over one day and then they switch back the next. Then they kind of start communicating with each other through now, this is something weird, because when I was watching this, I was leaving messages for each other on the phone. Why don't you just try calling each other? Now, they give an explanation. There's an explanation given, but I was confused. I was like, did I miss something? Because did I miss something earlier in the episode? Because later on when he goes to try to look for her and he mentions you're not sending texts, I can't get a hold of her. Was he unable, for reasons that are revealed, why he couldn't do that? But I can't remember if they actually tried or not. Did they?
No, not that I remember.
Yeah, so that was something that kind of, that I was like, what's going on? And like I said, they give an explanation, but I think they should have at least said, oh, well, but later on. But yeah, so that's kind of it. And it's about that. And that's kind of the opening premise for the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, I don't know what you want to talk about now.
I don't know what I want to talk about. That's a that's a problem. I'm having trouble really figuring out how to approach it.
Well, I'll just tell you what I think of the movie overall, okay? I thought it was really, really good, and definitely worth the hype. But I really liked that there was a payoff, that it all built up to something, and it finally ended up paying off with a, you know, a powerful ending to it. The music was outstanding. In fact, I had to buy the soundtrack on iTunes like a couple of minutes after I saw it. I was like, man, this set music so good. So yeah. My only problems I have with it, let me see if I can remember. Man, now I can't remember what I wanted to.
Well,
there was a couple of small problems with it, and I can't remember right now off the top of my head.
Okay.
What those problems were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we can just, I think we'll probably be shifting into a spoiler discussion soon after this. I just wanted to like say our general thoughts, and then we could like maybe get into some more specifics. I'm kind of the opposite end. I actually thought it was kind of boring for the most part. I just was not that interested in it. There are some parts I was more interested in, but then the movie, it sort of has this shift towards the end where it suddenly changes the plot to be about something. I'm like, oh, well, that was kind of sudden. It seems like this is a different movie than I was watching before. And then, then it also, honestly, I just started getting confused at some points later on. Now, maybe it was just a matter of, oh, well, I wasn't that sort of vicious circle of, well, I wasn't that interested, so I missed important stuff that explained things. And as a result of that, I was confused and got less interested or something. But yeah, honestly, I just, for all like to praise, I just wasn't that into it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spoiler time. That's your warning. I'm not saying we're going to like immediately shout out spoilers, but just you're no longer safe.
Okay. Here's my biggest problem with the movie. Okay. So this meteor is going to hit their city and destroy it. And Mitsuha tries to tell them that, and no one will believe her. But the fact is that the big lake that they have is from a meteor that hit 1,000 years ago, and there's a comet that's coming by for the first time in 1,000 years. And yet no one picks up on that fact. And no one thinks, gee, maybe there's something to this. No, we're just going to go about our normal business. We're going to completely ignore that giant lake that we have, which is total proof that this could happen. That was my biggest problem with it. I was like, why does no one want to believe this person? Like, I just couldn't get it, because it was like such an obvious thing that it did not make sense why she had such a hard time, that then she had to go and create a bomb and blow up the power plant. And then I didn't understand how they survive. Like I never saw any sort of bunker or anything that would have kept them safe. They just like all assembled at the school and then somehow were okay. I that was my biggest problem with the movie there. But overall, except for that, I thought it was outstanding and didn't really have many problems. So, yeah.
Yeah, that part, how they survived, I was a little confused because it sounded like you go to school, but then it said that, like, they got out. So did they, because I guess they didn't evacuate, or maybe they did, or maybe that we were supposed to take the implication that he then, after getting them, then told them all to get out of the city or something and did an evacuation. That part was a little unclear. When I was watching the movie, starting out, and you know, it's like, okay, it starts out as slice of life. Oh, wait, I mean someone else's body. And this is more of a thing, but they, of course, do the thing where that happens, and then they're all like, oh, well, I'm going to try to pretend to be them and live their life, rather than just, like, telling someone about it. Like, I mean, I guess it seems kind of crazy, but it doesn't seem like it, but it seems like trying to actually live someone else's life would be, you know, kind of harder. I don't know. I guess it's one of those cases of, like, what would you do if you woke up and your head had been turned into a goldfish bowl? situations. But so there's that. And that I was kind of thinking, okay, it's a bit slow paced, but that seems to kind of be a thing with a lot of anime movies. So I'm going to see where it goes. And then it just suddenly but it was a point where I was like, okay, you can, like, leave notes for each other. Why don't you send, because when they were sending texts, but that was just to their own phones. They weren't doing it to each other or calling each other or anything like that. And as it explains later, because they're separated, by 3 years, she was actually in, when they were conversing, she was actually in the past 3 years, which is, you know, 3 years. Oh, what was I saying? Yeah. So you couldn't do it like that, but then that just brings up the question of, well, why didn't you try? If you had just, like, tried and it wasn't working for some reason, well, they might think, well, that's really weird, but, I don't know. That was just something that I found, and I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of babbling on that part, but here's that, and now I lost my train of thought. Oh, okay, so then it switches to, like, the asteroid thing. It's like, okay, gotta get to her and tell her that thing, and you know, and then it's all about, you know, suddenly trying to save everyone from the comet, not the asteroid. And I'm just like, this just suddenly turned into a very different movie than I thought it was going to be. And then there's the part where he then goes back in time or something to meet her, and then they talk. I was very confused by that part. I don't know. Like I said, I just found parts of it kind of confusing, and just for the most part couldn't really get into the plot that much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some good stuff in it. The animation is good. The music's good. I can see how someone would like it, but I just didn't get into it.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I just like my movies faster paced or something. Because a lot of this was fairly slow paced.
You need the humor person. You know, like, you need humor to like something. You know? So,
I mean,
this movie didn't have any humor, really. You know, it was serious, so.
There's like, been some serious movies I like, but it is true that I generally like comedy, and this movie was pretty short on it. Yeah, I don't know. It's just I'm just kind of having trouble really finding specific things to talk about, because at the end of the day, all I can say is I just wasn't that interested, especially in what was going on screen. It was not a bad movie. It just was, to me, an okay one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's so high ranked. I'm sure a lot of people like it. Maybe it just wasn't my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was probably a much less interesting discussion than when we were discussing the Full Metal Alchemist movie, because there was a lot to unpack about that.
Yeah.
I kind of feel it's a lot easier to discuss something like that because you have the whole series, you know, to sort of fall back on. But yeah, I don't know. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, my final thought is that it lived up to the hype for me, and it was well worth the watch. I got it like 2 years ago and I never watched it. So that was my excuse to watch it. Now that I've watched this, I think I might just start watching a bunch of other movies, because I have a lot of them, like other ones that are considered really good, and you know, I've never seen. I think I'm gonna start doing that. If I can motivate myself to start vlogging again, I might do that, and give my thoughts on these movies. But I have stuff like Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke, Nausicaa Valley of the Wind, that kind of stuff that I want to watch. So yeah, I'll if I start doing that, I'll let you know.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I watched Spirited Away a long time ago. I can't really remember that much of it. I wonder how much this is interesting. I was looking at the list, and that was just talking about money. There's a list of the admissions to the movies, which a number of admissions, which actually might be a better measure. Because you know there's not really inflation involved. If you do that, then Tokyo Olympiad just jumps to second place in the Japanese list. I guess it got killed by inflation stuff because it was released in 1965.
So that was just a documentary on the Olympics?
Tokyo Olympiad. Yeah, it's a documentary film about the 1964 Olympics in Tokyo. It is in terms of the number of people who went to see it in theaters, like second place. It says it's 23.5 million for, I'm just looking at Wikipedia for the record, million for both of them. So I'm going to guess Spirit Away might have slightly edged it out or something. But yeah. And then, yeah, it's an interesting, some of these things. But just to reiterate the popularity of Your Name, I'm just going to list these quick. The top ones. Again, this is by admissions, the number of people who went to see it, or a number of tickets bought. Spirited Away, Tokyo Olympiad, Frozen, Emperor Meiji and the Great Russo-Japanese War, and then Your Name at number 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's Frozen is apparently insanely popular in Japan. I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's so high. I don't know. Yeah, like I said, I mean, I've mostly been kind of down on it, but like I said, I can see why people would really like it. I just wasn't that in. I just personally wasn't. I wonder how the novel was, because mm-hmm. Never mind. I was going to say that it was based on the novel, but then I looked and said, oh, no, it's a novelization of the movie. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, who knows? Maybe it's better. I've seen so many people say the novelization of Star Wars Episode 3 was actually a big improvement on the movie, so whatever.
Hmm. Okay, so that's that. Mm-hmm. And
we'll be back with our regular actual Toonami-related therapy next week.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, dude, Lupin, I think, I think we've got our last episode next week. Have they announced anything about replacements? Let's see. I'm not seeing, anything. Let me just double, check to make sure I got the things right. Yeah. Tomorrow we are, technically in 2 days, because it will be airing after midnight. That'll be the last Lupin episode. So I'm guessing they're probably going to reveal it, sometime during the, like, commercials and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, can you guess what video game I'm playing?
Super Mario Odyssey?
Current. Oh. I'm playing the Ayanami Raising Project, which is like a dating simulation with Rei Ayanami, and I this thing is so hard. I'm still trying to figure it out because, I'm trying to do all the codes to it and cheat, but even with all the cheating, like, I'm still having a very tough time. So, it's a bizarre game. It really is. I played it once totally in Japanese and like basically goes through all of Evangelion from the viewpoint of Rei Ayanami, and then at the very end, like you get an ending based on how well you raised Rei Ayanami. I could only get the fast food ending, where she ended up as a fast food worker. That was the only thing I could ever get because I was so bad at it. But then again, it was all in Japanese. So someone did all the work to translate it and put it in English. So I'm trying it out now in English and seeing if I can do any better. We'll find out.
If it goes through the, like, the events of the series, how does she end up as a fast food worker? Like what is the transition from, I don't know if it goes through end of Evangelion or
it does.
Then what
it's
is
like your, what happens is your last thing you ever see is Rei Ayanami. Then you get turned into LCL, and then you, like, make a wish, and then your wish is to see Rei Ayanami in her new life. So her new life, like, you know, it could be all kinds of stuff. It could be like a wrestler or a artist or a musician or an actress or even something. questionable. It could be all kinds of things, but yeah, you go through instrumentality, so you get turned to LCL, and the last thing you ever see is Rei Ayanami. So yeah, you're right about that.
Okay, yeah, that's because I was like wondering if it was doing something different, because the because I read the manga series that was based on the anime, which due to like a lot of hiatuses ended up only finishing in 2013, and it went through end of Evangelion, but it switched the ending to I can't remember exactly what it is. Shinji, after like all the stuff, he like somehow like, look, I'm doing this on secondhand information, but it somehow resets the world. So Third Impact, or was it Second Impact? Which was the one that happened before the start of the series?
Second Impact.
Yeah, second. So that it didn't actually happen, and or something like that. It's weird. It kind of switches the world to be sort of normal, except so it didn't happen, or at least no one has memories of it. Except it apparently may have happened because there's still all these like relics of it or something. I don't know. Like I read like the last chapter because I read something about it and was trying to make sense of it. But it's a weird ending, which I guess, I mean, it's Evangelion, of course. You're going to get one. But it does change the world back to normal, kind of.
This is really weird, but what you said, it's Evangelion, mm-hmm. So you can kind of expect it to be weird, so yeah.
Oh no, you could have given me a zillion guesses and I never would have gotten that one is what you were playing. there's some online stuff. I mean, I've kind of been playing some like Hearthstone or the Pokemon trading card game online. Honestly, Pokemon is the trading card game is actually pretty decent. It's a bit surprising that but I also have been finally going through more of Super Mario Odyssey. Well, actually I beat it. Right now I'm doing all the post game stuff. There is a ton of post game content in that game. Like a lot. So I'm just kind of doing some of that.
Yeah, there's a new Pokemon game out, but I don't have it yet. I heard they made a lot of changes and people aren't happy with it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been paying too much attention to that. I do know some people didn't like it, but I don't really know that much about it. On the whole, my biggest sort of like engagement with Pokemon for a while has actually just been playing the trading card game, which is. It's actually kind of interesting. I won't go into the intricacies because I can really only like kind of compare it to Magic: The Gathering, the other one I've played. It's got some advantages and some disadvantages compared to that. And you don't play either, so I can't really draw much of a comparison there either.
Like, yeah.
I would be like saying something. It manages to, while mana screw, as they would say, still exists in it, it's less than compared to Magic, because you don't need to use the energy to effectively cast the spell, the things that are effectively the spell cards, and there's a lot of consistency stuff that will ensure you get the stuff you need. You won't have any idea what any of that means. But, anyway, you can tell me if you get a better ending than that. Is there like an are all of the endings in LCL, or are any of them like endings that actually like avert that somehow, or like, you know, that happens but then everyone comes back? Or
that's basically what it is. It's that you go to LCL, but then like mysteriously afterward, then you begin make a wish, and then your wish is whatever Rei Ayanami ended up as, and you're doing it. And also there's an Asuka Langley Soryu option too. If you can unlock the Asuka option, then you can have a dating sim with Asuka too. So I haven't seen any of the endings to the Asuka one yet, but
I've never played a gay dating sim unless you count Fire Emblem, which I do remember that there's this funny video about them someone made called, like, so this is basically Fire Emblem. And they said, and they described it as a tactical RPG that's secretly a dating sim. I mean, I can't argue with that description for most of the later games. Wait, did they say secretly a dating sim or actually a dating sim? I can't remember, but the joke remains. Okay. So, yeah, well, that was a lot of talking about stuff that had nothing to, I guess it related to anime. anything else to, add, or are we just out of time now?
Yeah, we're kind of out of time. That was a pretty entertaining conversation.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, well, that's it then. We'll be back with actual Toonami content next time. We'll see you then.